You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we have aborted the combined social media platform and radio platform. In fact, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, I did YouTube Live, Facebook Live. You can catch that, obviously, on our digital media platforms. But we're going to devote the Bible Answer Man broadcast to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. It was kind of a nice try to mix the two. I just didn't think it was a good fit. So we're doing them separately. I will be doing another Facebook Live, YouTube Live on Thursday, probably at 3 o'clock as well. In fact, unless I have a change of heart between now and then, it'll be 3 o'clock on Thursday that we'll be doing YouTube Live, Facebook Live. During the Facebook Live broadcast today, I got a lot of questions. I tried to answer as many as I could. I couldn't get to all the questions. One of the questions that I thought was an important question, I had to do some research and return on, and I indicated to Zebulon, who asked the question, that I would comment on his question on the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. But anyway, Zebulon asked me to comment on a letter addressed to Donald Trump by the patriarchs and heads of local churches in Jerusalem. And since I hadn't read the letter, I indicated that I would make my comments about the letter on today's Bible Answer Man broadcast. In short, the letter is a solemn plea for the U.S. to continue recognizing the present international status of Jerusalem. And in short, I agree with both the tone, which was very, very respectful, and the content of the letter. But here's why. As the letter indicates, there were very good sociopolitical reasons for maintaining the status quo with respect to Jerusalem. There are also significant theological considerations. And I wrote about the theological considerations in some detail in a book titled Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. But here's the skinny. Think back to the time of Christ's post-resurrection appearances and recall that the disciples expected Jesus to establish Jerusalem as the capital of a sovereign Jewish empire. In fact, the notion was so ingrained in their psyches that even as Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, they asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Well, Jesus not only corrected their erroneous thinking, but he expanded the horizons from a tiny strip of land on the east coast of the Mediterranean to the farthest reaches of the world. You recall, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Well, just as God's promise to Abraham was fulfilled when the gospel went out from Jerusalem to all of the earth, so God's promise to David that one of his descendants would sit on the throne forever was fulfilled when Christ, the son of David, ascended to the throne of the heavenly Jerusalem and established his rule and reign over all the earth. In fact, Paul emphasizes that all who fixate on Eretz Israel or Greater Israel are in slavery to types and shadows. Conversely, all who recognize that the shadow of the land was found in fulfillment in the Lord are set free to inherit the earth. Now, there are, of course, those in the Christian community who, like Benjamin Netanyahu, remain convinced that the promises God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with respect to the land are unconditional and as yet unfulfilled. And therefore, the Zionists are convinced that Israel will soon control not only the West Bank and Gaza, but also Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria. I'm talking about the whole Levant, the western rim of the Fertile Crescent, all the way from Anatolia down to Egypt, but Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, and even the northern portion of Saudi Arabia. They contend that for God's promises to Abraham to be fully realized, Israel must yet control an area of land that is roughly 30 times its present size. But this is far from true. Abraham was not promised a country 30 times its present size. He was promised the cosmos. As Paul, apostle of the Gentiles, underscores, Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world. And therefore, Zionists are hyperventilating over tiny areas of land, including the West Bank and Gaza, God promises true Israel the globe. And what that means is that while Jerusalem continues to have archaeological, historical, of course, sentimental significance for Christians, it no longer drives the eschatological dreams of those faithful to the main and plain teachings of the historic Christian faith. So, Zebulon, good question. I love the letter to Donald Trump. I agree with the content and the tone of the letter, but there are theological considerations that I've written about in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. I want to also deal with something that I was thinking about early this morning, but let me take some calls. Matt first in Fort Worth, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well.
My question, Hank, is I've tried several times to start reading through my Bible, and my most recent attempt, I can't even get out of Genesis, so I have questions I can't answer. And the one that sticks out of my mind is when Cain slew Abel and was cast out of the garden, it says he went to the land of Nod, where he knew his wife. Now, my question is, if there were only Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel in the world, who was his wife?
Yeah. Well, the answer is there were many people in the world at that time, because remember, Adam and Eve lived approximately, roughly, 1,000 years. 1,000 years, you think about that time span, it can kind of wash over you rather quickly, but that's one half the period of time between the time of Jesus and the present. So 1,000 years is a long time to propagate. And of course, Adam and Eve were told to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth, and that is precisely what they did. So while the Bible focuses on certain individuals and certain genealogies, they're not complete by any stretch of the imagination. The story of Cain and Abel is in the Bible to make a very significant point, and that story, of course, has transcendent significance to us today in terms of how we give and what the attitude of our heart is. Why was Cain's sacrifice rejected? Why was Abel's accepted by God? And why was Cain bitter as a result of that? And why did he want to kill Abel? All of these have significant messages for us today. So many, many people alive at the time of Cain and Abel, because Adam and Eve had propagated many, many progeny over a long period of time.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You got it. And a lot of people get stumped when it comes to the book of Genesis. They think that Genesis is somehow or other giving us some kind of a chronology, and so they look at the evidence in God's book of nature that seems to point to a very old universe, and they say, well, there's got to be something wrong with the Bible here. Well, in fact, there is a problem in the sense that people don't understand the art and science and biblical interpretation. But anyway, I want to talk about something that I was thinking about early this morning, and that is the issue of transgenderism. And I was thinking about that with respect to war, because I was reading USA Today, and USA Today points out that the RAND Corporation has an estimate, and that estimate in the RAND Corporation is that there are currently thousands of transgender troops on active military duty. And the annual cost for their treatment is measured and multiplied millions of taxpayer dollars. I alluded to this a little bit on Facebook and YouTube Live this afternoon, but let me just expand on that. Because the real war issue to me is not this, but rather it is an undeclared war on reality. And here's what I mean. Reality dictates that gender is neither trans nor transactional. Instead, gender is a function of DNA, the blueprint stamped on humanity on a cellular level. And what that means is that there are thousands of genetic differences between male and female that simply cannot be altered by hormone treatments or by cosmetic surgery. Michelle Cretella, a pediatrician for almost two decades, noted that if a woman were to come into her office and say, "I feel like an amputee trapped in a healthy body, so please, please cut off one of my legs," that woman would be considered mentally ill, mentally unstable. But ironically, if a woman came into her office for a visit and said, "I feel like a man trapped in a woman's body, so please arrange a double mastectomy for me," it would be considered insulting to consider her troubled and intelligent to consider her transgender. Cretella goes on to say, and I think I have the quote here somewhere. Let me see if I can find it. She goes on to say that the American Academy of Pediatrics recently came out with a report that urges pediatricians to caution teenagers about getting tattoos because, well, they're essentially permanent and they can cause scarring. But the same American Academy of Pediatrics is 110% in support of 16-year-old girls getting a double mastectomy even without parental consent, so long as the girl insists that she is a man and has been taking testosterone treatments daily for about a year. Cretella goes on to say, to indoctrinate all children from preschool forward with a lie that they could be trapped in the wrong body disrupts the very foundation of a child's reality testing. If they can't trust the reality of their physical bodies, who or what can they trust? Transgender ideology in schools in America today is quite simply psychological abuse that often leads to chemical castration, sterilization, and surgical mutilation. And yet, the undeclared war on reality continues to rage. Dr. Paul McHugh, he's a distinguished professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins, and he's studied transgendered people for over 40 years, is of a different persuasion from the current narrative that we're hearing. McHugh says gender dysphoria should be treated with psychotherapy, not surgery. And then he went on to say, and this is, I think, a memorable way of putting this whole issue into context. He went on to say, the idea that one's sex is fluid and a matter open to choice runs unquestioned through our culture and is reflected everywhere in the media, in the theater, in the classroom, in medical clinics. In fact, it has taken on cult-like features, its own special lingo, internet chat rooms providing slick answers to new recruits, and clubs for easy access to dresses and styles supporting the sex change. It is doing so much damage to families and children and should be confronted as an opinion without biological foundation wherever it emerges. But gird your loins if you would confront this matter, because hell hath no fury like a vested interest masquerading as a moral principle. The heart of the problem is confusion over the nature of the transgendered. Sex change is biologically impossible. People who undergo sex reassignment surgery do not change from men to women or vice versa. Rather, they become feminized men or masculinized women. A very important issue. We're soaring to the wind. We're going to reap the whirlwind. I think rather than drinking the cultural Kool-Aid, we ought to always be ready to give an answer on this very important issue. Obviously, do it with gentleness and with respect. Coming up to station break, we'll be taking more of your calls on this side of the break. The number to dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
Today's growing firestorm of false teachers, fringe religions, and fierce attacks on Christianity is enough to shake the faith of even the most dedicated believers. When you give to support CRI, you help strengthen many who are in need of guidance and help those whose faith is unwavering draw even closer to Christ. Your tax-deductible gift by December 31st helps us end the year strong. Please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. Thank you. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. For many Christians, the reality of God is so obvious and undeniable that we're amazed anyone could seriously doubt it. And yet, many do. How can we help such people recognize what seems to be so apparent to us? James N. Anderson highlights six aspects of everyone's life that can be explained only if God exists. Other topics include, was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? The irony of 13 reasons why, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.
Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are committed to providing the biblically and logically consistent answers you need to stand firm in your faith against the world's attacks and to strengthen Christians everywhere with the truth. But we can't do it without your help. As an entirely listener-supported ministry, we rely on God's provision through friends like you to keep the broadcast going strong every month. Will you partner with us through a gift of your support today? Every gift, large or small, helps build God's kingdom by equipping Christians to think Christianly. So please go online to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI today to be a part of God's provision for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thank you. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I was thinking about going back to some of the Facebook questions, but let me go back to the radio questions. Richard in Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Richard.
Hi. I have a question. It was brought to my attention just recently that supposedly there was like seven books more in the Old Testament than what there is right now. You know how you have the 66 books of the Bible, but apparently there was more books in there. And I have a list of them here. I don't know my books off by heart, but I can read to you which books I have here, and then you will hear which ones are the ones that are not normal to be in there.
No, I'm familiar with the Apocrypha.
Oh, okay. So is there a reason why they are missing?
Well, they're not missing in a lot of Bibles. It just depends on which Bible you have. And the reason that some Bibles don't have the Apocrypha is the Apocrypha is put on another footing. It's not put on the same footing as the other books of the Old Testament. And so traditions like Eastern Orthodoxy contain those books in their Bibles, but they do not consider those books to be the basis on which they want to make dogma available to people. So they're very, very important, and they're considered part of the canon, but not something which determines dogma for the church.
Okay. Huh. Okay, so, well, thank you for answer there.
Yeah, there's.
I will look further into it, and I will look through, read through them books myself and see if I find anything more interesting in there. Because I started studying, and I have the New King James, the Old King James, as well as like a Low German Bible. I don't know what the, I would have to say what version that is in English, but I'm a Mennonite, and so I also have a New International Version, and neither one of these Bibles had that, those books in there that he brought to light there. And I'd never even heard of this before, but thank you anyway.
You got it. And some of the books are transcendently interesting. I think about 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Maccabees. And I was saying on Facebook and YouTube earlier today that 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Maccabees very, very important from a historical perspective. The stories in 1st, 2nd, 3rd Maccabees are poignant and profound. I think, for example, the story of a mother and seven of her sons who are brutally murdered by Antiochus IV Epiphanes, the Old Testament Antichrist. So you see the resolution to Daniel's visions in Maccabees. And, of course, if you want to find out about Hanukkah, you read Maccabees. So there's a lot of very, very significant historical information in the books that you referred to, the Apocrypha. Now, there are other books that people ask about from time to time, like Enoch. Enoch is quoted in the book of Jude because Enoch contains truth. All truth is God's truth. But Enoch is not part of the canon. So it's referred to in the canon, but it's not included in the canon. Gospel of Thomas is an example of a Gnostic gospel. It's a late gospel. A lot of people laud the Gospel of Thomas, but I don't think anybody who actually reads the Gospel of Thomas ultimately would be too infatuated with it. Jesus Seminar participants, they don't like the Gospel of John, but they love the Gospel of Thomas. And that is despite the fact, and maybe the fact is they don't really read the Gospel of Thomas, they only know about it, because the Gospel of Thomas includes patently ignorant and politically incorrect passages including a conversation between Peter and Jesus, where Simon Peter says to them, "Make Mary leave us, for females don't deserve life." And Jesus responds by saying, "Look, I will guide her to make her a male, so that she too may become a living spirit resembling you males. For every female who makes herself male will enter the domain of heaven." Thank God that is not one of the Synoptic Gospels or the Gospel of John. But a lot of people, again, like the Jesus Seminar people, wildly popular, they laud the Gospel of Thomas and they loathe the Gospel of John. They laud the Gospel of Judas. Again, they loathe the Synoptics. So they have a clear bias. Getting back to a Facebook question, this Facebook question is by Mona. And she wants me to explain why Mystery Babylon, and I assume she's talking about what John describes in Revelation chapter 16, she wants me to explain why Mystery Babylon is in the Bible and what Mystery Babylon means. Well, the book of Revelation, and I've summarized this in various places, it really gives you an overview of a persecuted bride, seven churches to the seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, a prostituted bride. This is a bride who no longer cares about her mission, and then a purified bride. In fact, the persecuted bride, through faithfulness, is ultimately transformed into a purified bride, dressed in fine linen, as the Bible says, white and clean. And though she suffers for 10 days, she ultimately reigns with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, I think there's a great contrast here in answer to your question, Mona, between the purified bride and the prostituted bride. And that contrast could not be starker. In fact, this is precisely what John is talking about when he uses the moniker Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Prostitutes, and of the Abominations of the Earth. Because this contrast is that unlike the purified bride, who bears the moniker of the Lord and the Lamb on her forehead, Mystery Babylon, the Mother of Prostitutes, commits fornication with the nations of the earth. Remember, they were called as a people to be a witness to the nations, but instead they prostituted themselves with the nations. Of course, that ultimately became the reason why the kingdom was torn into two parts. And she is what Jesus refers to as the synagogue of Satan, because there are those who claim to be Jews, but in reality are not Jews at all. So in the book of Revelation, judgment is about to befall Mystery Babylon. The purified bride is told that she did not fear that judgment that is going to be falling those that say they're Jews but are not, or Mystery Babylon. For she, the purified bride, has been sealed by the Lamb and was a lamb that was slain from a biblical perspective, a lamb that was slain from the very creations of the world. So Mystery Babylon, again referred to in Revelation chapter 17. Jason also asked a question, I'll just give a quick answer to that question, asked a question about a new film called The Star. It's an interesting film I haven't seen, but read a little bit about it. It's the story of the birth of Christ told from the viewpoint of a donkey. Looks like the film is a lot of fun. It's an animated film. And again, I haven't seen it myself, but from the testimony of those that have seen it, looks like a good, reverential, animated film that is enjoyable for the entire family. But I'll leave the final conclusion to my kids after they've watched it, because I'm sure they will watch it long before I do. I also wanted to touch on some of the things that I was talking about yesterday when I was talking about the fine-tuning of the universe and how the fine-tuning of the universe points to a sovereign creation and a sovereign creator. And this is one of the questions that I'm asked to answer so often. It has to do with the issue of origins. And as I said on yesterday's broadcast, how one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. If you believe that you're created in the Imago Dei, you're going to live your life by a different standard than if you think you're created, well, by the primordial slime. It makes all the difference in the world. So does the fine-tuning of the universe point to a sovereign creator? The answer is absolutely yes, it does. One of the most astonishing discoveries is that the universe is fine-tuned to support intelligent life. I mean, think about the force of gravity. If the force of gravity were fractionally stronger or weaker, the universe would not, in fact, I should say, could not support intelligent life. Chance is infinitely more likely to produce a life prohibiting universe than a life sustaining universe. So in sum, I think we can say with certainty that the only plausible source of the fine-tuning of the universe is a transcendent, incalculably powerful, intelligent, personal mind, an ineffable reality whom we rightly and reverently refer to as God. I think people are buying into incredible mythology today, and that mythology is communicated over and over and over again, and with a strong bias, because if you don't believe it, it affects your tenure in universities. And because that bias is communicated through the universities, it's picked up in the popular media, it's circulated. After a while, it's just considered pure fact. And nothing could be farther from the truth. So people are saying, golly, we look at the universe and it seems to be intelligently designed, but it couldn't possibly be, because there is no such thing as an intelligent designer. And so they resort to the fallback position. What is the fallback position? Well, materialism. We are all functions of blind, materialistic processes. And as a result, we have no free will because just brain chemistry and genetics going on. And therefore, there's no real right or wrong. There's no good or bad. History doesn't make any sense. And you think about teaching this to kids in school. You think about how they're going to behave as a result of that kind of a narrative being drummed into their heads. They're going to behave badly. And we see people behaving badly now in all sectors of life. We see the kind of draconian acts that are taking place in Hollywood, in the political sphere, men in power. Well, they're using that power, exercising that power with respect to women in an inordinate fashion. And all of this, you can't say it's wrong, because there is no such thing as right and wrong if we live in a purely materialistic universe. Coming to station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with a quote of the day. More answers to your questions, number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And do remember the resources that I talk about on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, you can find on the web at equip.org. You can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI.
How would your life be different today without the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, or CRI's website, books, and other resources? If CRI has blessed you this year, please help us bring more of these blessings into your life and many more in the new year. Give a special tax-deductible gift by December 31st. Because we're entirely listener-supported, your gift truly matters. To partner with us in ministry, call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment with more of the answers you need today. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid.
I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Hank Hanegraaff explains that while politically correct culture is quick to point out discrimination and abuse of women in other respects, there has been a deafening silence when it comes to the systematic oppression of women under Islamic Sharia law. Other topics include God made us so that He could be our Father in a way that reflects His fatherly relationship to His only Son, the rational inescapability of God. Was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. In these tough economic times, many ministries are being forced to pull back on their outreach. You can help ensure the Bible Answer Man broadcast isn't one of them by partnering with us through a gift of any amount today. No gift is too large or too small to help keep truth on the air. Whether you can give $10 or $10,000, your generosity will be part of God's provision for this entirely listener-supported ministry, silencing the skeptics and equipping multiplied millions of Christians to defend their faith effectively and lovingly. To partner with us today, please call 888-7000-CRI or give securely online at equip.org. Thank you for helping to bless others as you've been blessed by the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Dr. Paula Johnson. She is a cardiologist, currently president of Wellesley College. In fact, the first African-American woman to serve in this role. She's also among the first researchers to consider sexual differences that are essential for proper medical treatment. And I found the quote of the day in a book by Nancy Piercy. But again, the quote is by Dr. Paula Johnson. So Nancy Piercy is quoting Dr. Paula Johnson. But as I was reading through the book by Nancy Piercy, I couldn't help but being captivated by this quote. So Paula Johnson says this in a popular TED talk, quote, every cell has a sex. And what that means is that men and women are different down to the cellular and molecular level. It means that we're different across all of our organs, from our brains to our hearts, our lungs, our joints. Now, I think that bears repeating. Every cell has a sex. And what that means is that men and women are different down to the cellular level, down to the molecular level. It means we're different across all of our organs, from our brains to our hearts, our lungs, our joints. What's the practical application of that? Well, think about it. You have a sex change, cosmetic surgery, hormone treatment, and you think that has made you transfer from one gender to another. But it hasn't. Because your biology, male or female, determines gender on a cellular, a molecular level. So you may think that you've transgendered, but in fact, you haven't at all. You have engaged in an experiment that has a ghastly end. Now, people think that saying something like that is maybe cruel or harsh or unkind or maybe even sort of angry, but it's not at all. I think that if we genuinely love people, we're going to tell them the truth. And this is unfortunately not being done, not only in secular institutions today, but in spiritual institutions as well. People are capitulating to cultural norms rather than telling it like it is. And I mentioned on the Bible Answer Man Facebook Live and YouTube live broadcast that we did at 3 o'clock that this is something that is not only rife in secular circles, but I use the example of CBN's Pat Robertson, who famously opined that there are men who are in a woman's body or women who are in a men's body, and they want a sex change, and that's a very permanent thing. However, said Robertson, I don't think that there's any sin in transitioning to the other gender. Well, even if there were no sin to it, there is a horrific consequence to it.
Well, I mean, we also have to think of sin not necessarily in I did something that was wrong, but sin is anything that's not good. And if you're made, if God made you in a certain way, right, and you're diverting from that and you're saying, no, your way is not good enough, I want my way, I want to be made this way, in a way that there could be an argument that you are sinning. I mean, it's not any sin that's going to keep you from the hands of God, but it's not recognizing the value of who you are in the way that you were made by God.
And what you're doing is you're determining your gender based on feelings as opposed to biology, and feelings are very fleeting, and they can very, very easily change. And I've had enough experience in this area, actually talking to people who have made decisions with respect to their gender that have come back to haunt them later on in life, and they so desperately wish they hadn't done it. Well, let's move on, because all of this has a lot to do with sort of the whole issue of origins. Again, as I said a few moments ago, before we came into this segment, how one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. And I'm trying to do a bit of a deep dive on some of these subjects, because these are not surface subjects. Now, these are really important subjects. And oftentimes the questions that I'm asked don't get to the real essential issues that are being discussed in the culture. One of the issues that I think we ought to be discussing is whether or not we live in a privileged planet. Because some speculate and actually overtly say that our Earth is an insignificant speck of soil that's aimlessly adrift in a meaningless universe. But evidence points in precisely the opposite direction. It's one thing to say it. It's another to determine whether what you're saying is true. And this is not true. We live in a privileged planet, not people aimlessly adrift in a meaningless universe. And I say that because the unique conditions necessary to support intelligent life turn out to provide the best overall conditions for scientific discovery. For example, Earth is situated between two arms of a flattened spiral galaxy. I think you know what it's called, the Milky Way galaxy. And it's not too close to the core to be exposed to lethal radiation, and not so far that we could not observe nearby stars. Moreover, the atmosphere of our privileged planet is both oxygen-rich for survival as well as, and I just alluded to that, transparent for discovery. And think about our moon. Our moon is the perfect size and distance from Earth to stabilize rotation and also to facilitate human habitability. And that's not all. But the moon and sun's relative sizes and distances from Earth provide perfect solar eclipses. And that, of course, has played a vital role in the development of modern science. So here's the bottom line. From habitability to discoverability, Earth's status in the universe is surely one of privilege. Now, when I think about privileged planet, the privileged planet on which we live, I immediately think about Lad Allen and the videos that are available that he has produced. They're available on the web at equip.org. One of them is called Privileged Planet. But there are many others demonstrating that we live in a privileged planet and that we as human beings are not mere sophisticated animals, but we are also privileged because we're created in the image and the likeness of God. Again, those videos available on the web at equip.org. Privileged Planet, Metamorphosis, Flight, Living Waters, and much, much more. These DVDs, Christmas presents, come to mind. These DVDs will transform people's lives. What's so cool about the DVDs is they inform without preaching. You watch them, and immediately you know, could not be other than God created the heavens and the earth. One other issue that I want to deal with on today's broadcast, if I get this in quickly, has to do with the Big Bang. Is the Big Bang biblical? Well, the Big Bang postulates that billions of years ago, the universe began as an infinitely dense point called a singularity, and it has been expanding ever since. And though the Big Bang is not taught in the Bible, the theory does, in fact, lend scientific support to the scriptural teaching that God created the universe ex nihilo, or another way of putting it is that God created the universe out of nothing. So in concert with the Bible, the Big Bang postulates that the universe had a beginning. And this is important because it stands in stark opposition to the scientifically silly suggestion that the universe eternally existed. Hard to believe people actually believe that. And if the universe had a beginning, of course, the universe had to have a beginner. A Big Bang presupposes a Big Banger, because according to empirical science, whatever begins to exist must have a cause equal to or greater than itself, and therefore the Big Bang, it flies in the face of the philosophically preposterous proposition that the universe sprang from nothing apart from an uncaused first cause. Now, I wouldn't stake my faith on Big Bang cosmology, but I'm absolutely confident that as human understanding of the universe progresses, it will continue to point to the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. The cosmologies can change, but the facts never change. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is inviolate. Every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself, and God is the great uncaused first cause. The idea that nothing creates everything simply ought not to be recognized as lucid in an age of scientific enlightenment. We've written about this in resources that we make available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, including the Creation Answer Book. You can check that out on the web at equip.org. For those who join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. Also, when you give this month, we have a bunch of fantastic resources you can choose from. The Case for Christ, the actual movie. If you haven't seen it in the theater, or even if you have, you might want to give this as a gift this Christmas. The Case for Christ, One Man's Journey to Solve the Biggest Mystery of All Time. The Case for Christ. Lee Strobel, of course, wrote the book. It is a blockbuster bestseller, and the movie, I didn't think the movie could possibly be this good. It was incredible. You get this great Christmas present available for those who support the ministry. And we also have Clay Jones. He is incredible on why does God allow evil. His answers are the most lucid and compelling I've ever read anywhere. And he gives compelling answers to life's toughest questions in this book. That book also available for those who choose to support the ministry this month. We also have the last book, Life in the Trinity by Donald Fairbairn. If you want to know about life in the Trinity, how we are brought in the fellowship of the Trinity, this is the book to read. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. For many Christians, the reality of God is so obvious and undeniable that we're amazed anyone could seriously doubt it. And yet, many do. How can we help such people recognize what seems to be so apparent to us? James N. Anderson highlights six aspects of everyone's life that can be explained only if God exists. Other topics include, was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? The irony of 13 reasons why, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.